Hi, Larry Gassman here, and today Walden and I will be talking with Erna Reinhardt, who is Charlie Reinhardt's wife, and together they wrote a book about Jimmy Stewart. Rarely do we come across, and we interview a lot of people, but rarely do we come across a husband and wife writing team specifically about somebody like Jimmy Stewart. Did you divide up the duties? Did you both do it as a duo? How'd that all work?
Yeah, mostly. I got him interested. I've always been a movie fan. Mm-hmm. I guess that's from my mother. Mm-hmm. She got me into the old movies, and you know, my whole life I've really been interested in the older ones, and it just sort of narrowed down one time. Someone said, well, you know, who do you like? Who's your favorite? And without giving it much thought, Jimmy Stewart just popped right out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I always enjoyed radio. And you know, I talk a lot about him and, you know, about this and I like that. And then I got Chaz sort of interested, you know, in it. And, of course, he's more of a researcher. And you know, more of a student than me, but I think you know I really got him into this, and he really got interested in listening to old time radio, and then he dug more and more into Jimmy Stewart, and I hadn't realized either that he was in so much radio, mm-hmm. and you know he started you know doing this and. And he said, I think, goodness, he says, I think we'd almost have enough for a book. And I said, you're kidding me. And he said, no, he said, I have, you know, hundreds now, you know, that you can see them. And, you know, the more he researched, the more I got interested. And he said, well, let's just sit and do this book. And I said, well, you know. Okay. I must admit, I mean, you know, like I said, he's a real researcher. And, you know, you get him going on something, and boy, you know, he really gets into it. And then I'm more of a proofreader and grammar person, mm-hmm. You know, and I'd find mistakes, you know, and I'd question. I'd say, are you sure about this and sure about that? And, you know, and then he'd double check. And you know, then he'd say, well, here I have this done. He said, check this out. And it was very much a teamwork.
When you did research and when he did research, did you primarily use the libraries or did you use the internet?
Yes, both, wherever we could find anything. Uh-huh. I heard him talking about Penn State. I mean, we've, you know, Library of Congress. He would find one thing, which would lead to another, which would lead to another, and then we would go and you know track things down nice is the days of the internet because to be honest with you, I don't do computer. So you know, he would find this, then he would find that, which would lead to something else. And, you know, like I said, he's a researcher. He's a go-getter. And one thing would lead to another. And, you know, I did my best to keep up with him. And, mm-hmm. You know, the pages just grew and grew and grew. And it was fun. It got us to do a lot of things together. You know, our little trips. You know, we'd talk all the time about, you know, what about this? Do you think we ought to include that? And, of course, the original book was much bigger and covered many more categories than the one that was actually printed because it was just too big. Mm-hmm. They talked about maybe doing a supplement book. They talked about adding a CD so people could listen to the actual old-time radio show itself, mm-hmm. you know. But it was, I mean, at that point, I think it was one of the largest books that Bear Manor had ever printed. Wow. And it would have been twice as big, you know. So, but yeah, it was a really dual project, and we enjoyed it so much. And I hope that you know other people that you know enjoy it too. It's not for everybody,
no.
not for a lot of the young kids today who have no idea who Jimmy Stewart is.
Right, right.
But, yeah, and we've talked to many people, and you know, they do enjoy it. So, and that's just a bonus, because it would have been good enough for me just to have it, you know, say, oh, you know, some, you know, friends, neighbors, and relatives, look what we did, you know, hey, how about this? But, you know, to be actually published was a real bonus, and it was really neat, really neat. So, yeah, we enjoyed it together.
Was there something you wanted to find out a little more information before you went to publish on it? Did you hold a book up for that you could solve a mystery, or was there anything that was, you know, that was the biggest hurdle to make sure you two were going to be happy before you set it off the matter to be published?
Yeah. Well, I guess I could say we learned many, many things throughout the process of writing it. And I think one of the biggest, and it was really thrilling for me, was the museum in Indiana, because it was just starting up. You know, they had just made it the museum. They opened it. We went up there. We got to know the people there, which you learn so much from townspeople. You know, we talked to neighbors of Jimmy when he was just a boy. We learned to know both of his daughters, which was a, you know, real pleasure. And you learn things, and you learn about that era of when he was a boy. There was just so many things that we learned that was really, you know, interesting and really neat in writing the book. And although the book was about old-time radio, not his life as such, but you learn so much. And in learning about a person, then you begin to understand why they did what they did, and, you know, what was so interesting to him, and some of the roles that he played, and, you know, just his whole lifestyle. And so I think that was the neatest thing. And like I said, they didn't get to publish every word that we wrote. And there were so many interesting things that we learned. And we are still very active up at the museum. And, his daughter, Judy, wrote the beginning, the foreword to the book. And then, you know, we got to know Judy also. So, you know, just the whole experience of learning about him and his era, his family, it was one of the greatest things to happen for me.
When you talk to Jimmy's two daughters, what did you learn? What was Jimmy like around home? Was he a quiet guy? What were some of the indications you might have gotten through his two daughters just by talking to them?
That was one of the most heartwarming learning experience that I've had. We met a few people of notoriety around all this time. But listening to them and the stories that they related about their home life, about them growing up and him being their dad, they had no idea when they were little girls, they're twins, you know, that they had no idea that he was a movie star or you know, being on the radio or, you know, doing things, that he was popular, that he was a star. They didn't know that. And to them, he was just their dad. And just listening to some of their stories growing up, it made you realize that he was a very, very humble hometown husband and dad. And I think that just enforced why I liked him so much, the impressions that he gave me, what I saw in him, because he reminds me so much of my grandfather and my dad. And I think that's what I saw, you know, in him. And that was reinforced by talking with the daughters, and it impressed me so much that anybody who knew him, any star, anybody who worked with him, relayed that he was just a nice guy out there willing to help anybody with their career, you know, with their skills, that he was a helper. He was just a nice guy. You know, he wasn't in it for, you know, he didn't need the money. You know, he didn't need, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff that movie stars and you know, people like that, you know, really crave to do. He was a different person. And he talked a lot about his hometown. He talked about his grandfather, about his dad and the hardware store, and his sisters and his mom, how much she influenced him. And that you learn by talking with the daughters and the hometown people. And that he was just, you know, what you saw in him as a person, that was him. He put on no airs. He was just a nice guy. That's what I learned.
Yeah, I was just reflecting as you were talking, Erna. Larry and I both know Glenn Ford's son, Peter. And, of course, his mom was Eleanor Powell. And that was the...
Yes.
And Eleanor Powell, for people, the famous dancer of the 30s. And that was the one that Jimmy sang the song to, Easy to Love.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who may or may not know, both Jimmy Stewart and Greer Garson attended the Presbyterian Church in Beverly Hills. And Jimmy used to walk to church and back. And I remember Peter telling me that one of the biggest barriers that he stopped Jimmy on the street and wanted him to meet his little daughter. And said, this is the daughter of my mom, granddaughter of my mom, that you sang to. And it was just, you know, really nice touches like that.
Oh yeah, yeah. He was very active in the church in Indiana. His dad sang in the choir, and just things like that are very to me. That just means a lot.
Yeah, I was just thinking. I have a recording of Jimmy reading how much his religious faith meant to him on the Truth or Consequences show. We have a documentary, and they were honoring, you know, people going to church, and they asked Jimmy to read this letter, and he just read so beautifully how much it meant to him. And
that's what he grew up with. I mean, that was his family. That's the way they were. There was no putting on with him. I mean, that's who he was, and his faith was very important to him. His dad had given him a Bible verse that he carried the whole way through the war. Just things like that you normally don't hear about it, you know. But that's the touching stuff, and I don't know if you ever heard the quote that Harry Truman said that if he and Bess had ever had a son, they'd want him to be just like Jimmy Stewart.
Wow.
No, I'd not heard that. That's a wonderful quote.
That's a great comment.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's just the way he was, and that's... And I think more and more today, it's, you know, we need to hear more things like that today.
Why don't we?
You know, we need more people like that. Mm-hmm. We can't let people like him be forgotten.
Well, I mean, look at the service he gave his country. He fought in World War II, and then he lost his son in Vietnam.
His
son was serving the country, and
Well, you know, when he left the service, well, he didn't leave until years later, but when he was, when he came home from the war, he actually had it written in his contract when he started his first project that he didn't want things to be mentioned about him of what he did in the service, you know, all of the combat missions that he did and his rank and all the, you know, he didn't want that to be, one of the main things that the people read about him.
Sure.
He didn't want to commercialize on his war service. And again, that shows how humble and truthful and honest. You know, he really was.
They didn't talk about it.
You know, he was.
They didn't talk about it much on radio at all. They did talk when he came home sometimes from an engagement to do a radio show. They mentioned his rank, maybe, but they didn't talk a lot about it at all during the radio show.
No, he didn't want that.
No, not at all.
And I was just thinking about his married life to Gloria. I know when she passed away, he was ready to go home. I mean, I remember...
Yes.
Hearing from friends of him, said once Gloria passed, he was ready to go home.
Right.
And
Yeah.
That just goes to show, again, another aspect of his life. He was only married once to her.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was his whole life. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if we talked to somebody up in Indiana, one of his neighbors, and there were many times that... you know, he just didn't want to see people anymore. Mm-hmm. There were only a very few people that even, you know, went into his home and visited with him. But I think he lost all of life, you know, once she was gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, it shows, you know, the way that he lived and, you know, his commitments and things that he really cared about. My one regret is I never met him, never saw him in person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean I've talked with people who have, but you know, if I could have just said which thousands of people already said to him, "Hello, Mr. Stewart, I really enjoy I really enjoy your work." I mean, I didn't even get a chance to say that, you know.
But aren't you glad
That's
you wrote the book?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You
I mean, Chaz was the strong force, you know, on that. But I am so glad that, you know, that he took it upon himself to even want to try to do it and you know, to, you know, involve me so much with it.
Uh-huh.
And because he knew that, you know, I was really into Jimmy's life.
Sure.
See, I feel like I know him because I can call him Jimmy.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some people wouldn't say his name as much, but I just feel like I almost knew him.
Yeah,
I feel like he would have fit into my family very well.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel that way.
Yeah,
I don't feel as clean. Mm-hmm.
You have a favorite Jimmy Stewart radio broadcast, one episode, or something that you love?
Oh my boy, is that that's a loaded question. I don't know. I enjoyed the radio show Suspense, and you know he was on Suspense, and of course the shows that he did on there were just a little different. He had to have just a little different tone than he did in some of the other, you know, like Jackpot and lighter stories. But you know, that was a different kind of a storyline, a different than what he was, you know, what we were used to hearing. So I think anything on Suspense was good.
My favorite Suspense, one of my was Mission Completed.
Right.
And in fact, I had Spurback recreate that.
Right.
2008.
Yep.
Cause I loved that Suspense show, and Jimmy Stewart was so. That was such a believable part, him being in a wheelchair.
Yes.
It was just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
True to fourth performance.
Well, that was one of his skills. I know people have worked with him, you know, in different you know, projects. He is who he is, and he can make you believe any character. And he made it so easy, and you know, he didn't have to force anything. I mean, he just knew without, you know, a whole lot of formal training. He knew how to create the role. He knew how to bring that character out, and he didn't force anything. And he could do any form. And of course, when you're on radio. You know, it's different than performing, you know, on the movie screen, because, you know, everything has to come through with the voice. There's no facial expressions,
right.
You know, and you have to rely on getting to know that character just by the expressions, the inflections, you know, of that character. So in some ways, I think it was harder for a lot of these actors to do well on radio than on the movies, mm-hmm. or on a play or something like that. Maybe not everybody would agree with that, but and he did well on anything that he tried to do.